Live from the Pathway Studios in Johnston proper, you are Live from the Path.
And you're listening to Live from the Path. We're coming from the Pathway Studios here in Johnston proper.
Hey, man, you need a comb for that beard?
Yeah, God gave me fingernails. That's a God's comb.
You need a comb.
Yeah. What's happening? Hey, I didn't start the show yet with your banter.
Start over again.
Go ahead and start.
I forgot how it goes. Anyway, hey, welcome to Live from the Path. Hey, man, it's been like a two-week sabbatical. I hope you've spent it wisely on a Monday night, doing laundry or... I thought I might have fleas at my place. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, that's what we talked about. So far, we have beard combs and fleas.
Anyway, I hope you used your time off responsibly. Now you can while the hours away, listen to Live from the Path. And here's what we got going on the show tonight. For starters, Crystal Joy is in studio. She's the author of the book Completely Captivated. It's a cool book. She'll explain it better than I will, but I read it this past week. And it's like a collection of real life love stories. And one of the cool things, about it is it causes you to remember, not only of your own story, but probably of like, the couples that you've met around you or your parents or whatever, that like, everybody's story is beautiful. Like there's, we often forget some of the details and some of the information and some of the circumstances that got us to be with the person we're with or beyond a certain someone or whatever. And, anyway, it was a really interesting book. So she's here to kind of tell you about that, kind of where the stories came from, how she goes about putting those together, and why you should read it. And so, we're gonna talk to her, find out more about her life, and, she's also got other books in the hopper that I'm interested in, so we're gonna get to that. And, so Mike's been cooking up a game. Tell me about the game, Mike.
Well, so because of the subject that we're talking about today, the first question that came to my mind that I wanted to ask Crystal was like, did you have anybody submit stories where you're like, no, man, that's not love at all. that person terrible to you, you know? And then I thought, well, what is love? If love were to come in, you know, right in front of me, would I know it? And then, of course, then the White Snake song came in my head. And so I thought, we're going to do a game. And the game is called Is This Love? And I'm going to give you a scenario. And then based on the information I've told you, you're going to have to determine whether this is love or not.
Something tells me that this is not going to represent the age-old pursuit of what is love.
It's
like
probably,
by Hathaway?
What?
What is love?
No, what happened here? No.
Oh.
No.
I thought we were going to another 80s.
No. Okay. All right, never mind.
Anyway, this game is going to reveal, I mean, by the time the game is done, you're going to know exactly what love is and how to apply it to your life.
I can't deal with you. You've got some Pope style tonight. Can you give me a preview on the Pope style advice?
Here's the preview. Every college student that I've run into needs to figure out their identity. Like, it's driving me nuts at how many times I have to have 2 o'clock in the morning conversations with people about how much more they are worth than the scenario they are in, uh-huh, or that they've put themselves in. We really need to hash out what Jesus tells us who we are, and I'm really getting tired of it.
Okay, brilliant. So someone has mistaken Buva for the Pope.
Bad idea.
And he's got no choice to get them off his lawn or his, you don't really have a lawn, do you?
I do. There's a bunch of inflatables out there.
Okay.
Like Santas and stuff.
All right. So, outside of his lawn, he's got to give some level of advice, and it's going to have to do with, know who you are.
They got to go.
Okay. Got it. That's the Pope style advice. We also might get to some secular versus Solomon, and we'll do some advice on Dear Life in the Path, and, we'll see what we know and what the world knows. All right, let's talk to Crystal. Crystal Joy, thank you for coming on Live from the Path.
Thanks for having me.
So I'm excited to have you. You popped up in my Facebook feed a couple times. I don't remember, like you haunted me like a specter is the way I like to think of it.
Yes.
So you came up once and I thought, oh, hey, I should reach out to her and see if she'd be willing to come on the show. And then mysteriously, your name and information about you writing this book showed up back on my Facebook feed. And I thought if somebody's going to haunt you, you might as well have them on the program because that's interesting. So first of all, tell us, for folks who aren't familiar with you or the book, tell us a little bit about yourself and then a little bit about the book Completely Captivated.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, I'm a stay-at-home mom. I have two little ones at home. I have a 2-year-old, 2.5-year-old, and a 1-year-old. So they keep me pretty busy. But I also write. I used to be a junior high teacher, and I absolutely loved it. But then I really felt like God was calling me to pursue writing. And so I loved the students. The school district was amazing. And I talked it over with my husband, and I really felt like I was being called elsewhere. And so we took a leap of faith and said, all right, God, we'll just figure this out. And so I started writing full-time, and then now it's pretty much part-time with having the two little ones at home running around as well. But I get the best of both worlds. It's so much fun.
Now, wait, do you have like a writing space? Can you write anywhere, or do you have to have a certain vibe around you? Candles up and Tony Jones on? Like, what do you got?
I actually write in a coffee house. So I get when I work during nap time, so I'm at home then. But otherwise, I can get out of the house sometimes in the morning, and I work at a coffee house, a local coffee house called Dunn Brothers in Bendorf.
Sweet. That's where it happens.
It is. And it's busy and chaotic. And for some reason, I know that's crazy, but it works for me. Like, I can't work in pure silence. That would just drive me crazy.
For some reason, all I can envision is somebody hiding underneath the blanket, you know, away from the children, and be like, I'm in my space.
No one can see me.
I'm in creating my writing zone.
I might picture that sometimes, but no, I've never really done it.
Like, are you thinking, like, where the younger kids' comics where they're always reading under the blankets with a flashlight, but mm-hmm. you're thinking that adult style,
yeah.
trying to get work done?
Yeah, I'm in my zone.
You know, I might use that sometime now that you just suggested it.
okay, the magic happens at the Dunn Bros. And, all right, so tell me about Completely Captivated.
So Completely Captivated started when I was just trying to get traditionally published with another novel. And I thought, you know, I really want to start connecting with readers, because going from teaching to writing, the solitude is the hardest part. Like, I love being social. I love talking to people. I love writing, but it's hard just sitting there in that quiet, right? So I was like, you know, it'd be really cool if I could start writing real stories and putting them on my website, and then they have to do with love. So I started asking couples to send me their stories. And I've had so much fun, because every couple is so different, and every story that's been sent in to me is so different. And at first, they all started off happily ever after, because that's what love is, right?
Right.
Is it?
Is it? I don't know. So then I went out to dinner with some friends once, and I had a friend say, have you ever considered writing stories that don't end happily? And I'm like, well, actually, I have thought about it, but would anyone send me those stories? And I had a couple of them who had been through recent breakups were like, well, yeah, I'd send you my story. So I thought, you know, if people are interested in giving me their stories, I would be happy to write them, because really, love or relationships really are messy and complicated, and they're hard. Even if you have a great relationship with someone, it's still hard, and every couple has that. So I decided, you know what, I don't want to write all happily ever after stories anymore. I'm actually going to make a collection of stories where some do end happily and some don't, because that's real.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that I really liked about the book was, like, first of all, knowing where the stories were coming from. Like, these are real stories about real people. And one of the things that was cool is thinking about, think of all the people that you've ever met, right? Buva, do you have them in your mind now?
Yes, every
okay,
one of them.
Okay, good. That's what I was hoping for. So if you look around and think of the people that you interact with on a daily basis and think, like, they have a unique love story. Like, whether it is they're currently married or they've gone through relationships, like, chances are, like, they have an interesting, unique love story full of, I don't know, like, cool anecdotes and people's attempts to impress each other and, so harsh words and kind words and, like, it's just a dimension of the world that I think I take for granted. What you tend to hear from, and maybe this is different for other people, but like, I tend to only know one side of people's marriage. You know, maybe it's the guy that's talking to me most of the time, right? So like, I only know the stories he tells. My wife tells way better stories than I tell. Yeah. And they're way different stories than I tell. Like, mine are generally one-liner type stories of when someone fell on their butt. My wife has cool stories.
Here's
about
the thing, though. That falling on your butt story always kills.
No, that's true.
People love that stuff.
It's a crowd pleaser.
I go with the tried and true. The woman is willing to experiment out into other avenues. But, like, you know, she remembers the way an eyebrow raise that the kids gave, or, you know, remembers dates that we won and that I can't remember at all. Like, just don't occur to me. And it made me think that, like, how deep relationships are and cool stories exist in everybody's life. And like reading these in Completely Captivated, like caused me to actually look at some people's relationships differently and my own probably as well. Like I started to realize, my first reaction was, hey, I don't know if I have cool stories like that. But as I started to think about it, I thought, actually, we got a ton of cool stories.
I get that a lot.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
So like, how do, when you're kind of going through this, if people are sharing their stories with you, did you have to do any prodding or poking or encouraging to try to get them to share, or to think about their relationship in a different way?
Yeah. I mean, I start off with some questions on my website, but then I ask for more, like, do you remember what that person was wearing back then, you know? And some of the older stories, you get some pretty cool stuff of what they were wearing. Or what do you think that person would have said or done? And it's crazy because some people remember dialogue, like they'll remember exactly what somebody said to them in that moment. And then other people will have all these visceral details of like what was going on, like there were birds in the air and there was a frog jumping in the water. I mean, it's just amazing what people actually remember, and it's so different. And it's especially different from the guy to the girl. So originally, all the stories were written from a girl's perspective, but recently I've started writing more stories from a guy's perspective and a girl's perspective. And I've even actually had a couple just from the guys. That's been a little more tough.
Right. Yeah.
They remember completely different details. I've actually just, this summer I did two different stories for couples. They were surprises. One was one of my best friends got married this summer, and her fiance wanted to do a story for me to give her on their wedding day. And so I only got his details. And then another story I did for my pastor at Adventure Christian Community, and he wanted me to write a story for their anniversary. And then I got only his details, too. So that was really nerve-wracking because when you only get one side, like you said, it's hard because you're like, well, what if I'm missing something, or what if they remember something totally different? Because even my love story, people will ask, like, is it in the collection? I'm like, well, no, because my husband and I remember the story so differently that I'm like, well, I'm sure that happened. He's like, oh, I don't know. I don't think that did.
That would scare me to death.
Oh, like, man, yeah.
Because I feel like my wife wouldn't say, hey, we remember it differently. She would say, you remember it wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not how it happens.
You are just incorrect.
Yeah.
Well, it might be said that way, too.
Yeah, we've never even been to the Chili's.
Yeah, that's right. I was like, come on, woman, we was in the Chili's. I'm certain of it.
So pull the receipt.
Yeah, I kept the receipt.
This is exactly where we were.
Because I've always loved you, and this is why I have the Chili's receipt. What do you love? Ah, man, I don't know. I'm so bad at this.
No, yeah, I couldn't, I don't know that I could even propose to be on that side of our story to feel like I told it right.
Right.
Or gave it justice. Like, the things I remember are obscure details that don't have anything to do with it. Like, you're right. Like, I would be, so this gets me into a question now that I'm ruminating on this. Like, has anybody that you know of had a reaction to any of the details that were in the story? Like, that surprised them, or they thought, they reacted like it did miss a big thing, or has it for the most part been pretty even keel?
It's been pretty easy as far as like getting the details. I mean, there have been small things like someone, you know, just saying, she wouldn't have worn like a red bandana. She would have worn a blue one, or, you know, just small details like that. Or if like, I'm trying to think of some other ones. For the most part, it's just been pretty easy because I get a lot of those details ahead of time. And then if I don't, I'll just highlight them in the story, and then I'll ask the couple before I actually send it to them to read. Because I don't want to get it wrong either. It's nerve-wracking. Yeah. You're like, oh, gosh. You want to, especially like an engagement or a wedding, like it's, you want to make sure that you are capturing the essence of what really happened so that they are like, oh, yeah, you know, that's, I remember that. I feel like I was there again.
Hey, man, am I cheating in my relationship if I write down details?
Well, yeah, Bubba. I mean,
is that cheating?
How can you claim duncery like I've done?
Well, I'm just saying,
if you've written down all the details.
Like every time something significant happens between the two of us, I make certain to write it down.
No.
Like whether it's she tells me something that's her favorite, I write it down immediately. Or something happens that like she was like, I really felt loved in that situation, or I felt like this was a really cool thing between us. I make sure I write down everything. Am I cheating?
That's a great idea, Bubba.
Yeah, that is a good idea.
Yeah.
I don't.
I think that's the first time in like 8 years you guys have ever said that on
the show. Not produced very many great ideas.
Oh, no, so yeah.
Good. Yeah, today is
writing down cool things your lady does, that's the right move.
It's a red letter day, boo.
We can use them in your future love story.
See? Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
So the book is completely captivated. You can go to crystaljoybooks.com and you can pick the book up there. Otherwise, it's also where all legit books are sold, right? So you can pick it up at Amazon. Did I see you were at a Barnes & Noble book signing recently?
Yes. Yep. So you can get it at Barnes & Noble or on Nook, too. Probably easiest to get it on Nook, but I can get it at Barnes & Noble, too.
Okay, sweet. Yeah. So you can go pick that up. So one of the things I was thinking is as people think about their own stories, and what you were saying was that they weren't sometimes people don't remember that well, like depending on who they are in the relationship, or they don't remember the same things. But I also got to thinking, like, for people who say, I don't have a cool story, whether they ever have it kind of turned into a story or not, it seems like it would be helpful in relationships to go back and try to remember some of the depth or some of the nuance or some of the memories that are surrounded kind of where our relationships came from. And so, like, as you go through this process, has it created any advice for people who are just trying to, who might otherwise say, yeah, my relationship was nothing special. If otherwise I might try to make the case that everybody has a unique story. How can people remember that? What are some tools that people or ways that people can think to think back upon their relationship and actually realize that they do have a unique story?
A lot of times I think it's when you just talk to somebody else. So whether that's your significant other or, you know, your parents or part of your family, siblings, and just ask them, you know, what do you remember about that particular time? And a lot of times people will remember things that you don't, and then you'll go, oh, that was really special. Because you're right, our memory fades, you know, and we only remember certain details. But every love story really is special, and I think I get that a lot, is where people go, well, I would send you something, but I don't really have anything special. And I'm like, well, tell me, you know, how did you meet your significant other? And it's what's funny is you get a lot of times a lot of people will start talking, and then they're like, oh, yeah, I mean, even when they're talking to me, they'll remember details they didn't think about before. My husband's boss asked him the other day about some of my love stories, and he said his boss probably spent about an hour retelling their love story when he originally had said, well, you know, it's nothing special. Like,
right.
How do you get, how do you remember all these details? And then, you know, an hour later, of course, he remembered most of them. So it's just going back and really sitting down and thinking about what happened.
Well, that's kind of funny to think that, like, you know, if we'd spend any amount of time thinking about it, that information is still there, right? Like, but normally we're only willing to put in, say, 30 seconds, like, where'd you meet your wife, you know, and I'll say, blah, 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 this is where we met. And, you know, and I've put 10 seconds worth of thought in it, you know, produced what's on the top level of my brain and said, that's it, realizing that, like, that was the biggest deal to me when it happened.
Right.
Like, it was huge. Obviously, it changed my life in an enormous way. And there was way more going on than I ever sell it, right? And so, like, there's something about capturing those stories and putting them all together from all different, you know, walks of people and backgrounds and those kind of thing that, like, man, it's just got a lot of power in a small amount of space, you know, to show things that, like, it's just like when you were in high school, you remember everything just meant everything, right? 5 minutes would pass and it'd be the heaviest 5 minutes of your whole life. And you're like, man, they looked at me funny when I turned the corner and I knew they hated me.
No, right, yeah.
And so, like, and that's not the case anymore, right? You're like, you walk down the hall of your office building and a guy looks at you funny, you're like, man, he must have had a bad burrito, too bad, you know? And you pass it off as if it's nothing, but, like, that exact same interaction happens to you at 15 and it will crush or make your world, right? And so, like, huge spans of life and the direction of which your life was going were happening around this time. And the same is true for the day that I, you know, first met my wife, and I pass it off as if it's nothing. And so it's amazing to me on how much of these stories and even small amounts of words can carry just a huge depth of where your life was and what it turned out to be.
Yeah. And I mean, that's why a lot of the stories, you know, will go from the highest of highs to the lowest of lows, because typically that's what you remember the most.
Yeah, no doubt. Actually, that's a good way to put that. Is like the extremes kind of carry, and you lose like you keep the margins, but you lose the some of the meat, right? Some of the real special moments that are in those kind of big, like, everyone wants to think back and remember their wedding day. Can I remember what I was doing the day before my wedding? Because like that had to have been a real exciting day.
No,
right? It wasn't the day of, but you're the things that you're worried about, the things that you're thinking about, the way that you're looking at this lovely woman who's agreed to be with you. Like, I'd have been interested to what I was thinking and what was going on around me. I don't recall any of that because there's no one there to take pictures and stuff.
Yeah, right.
Oh, man. Boova, write it down and show us all. Yeah, Boova, you're like a journalist on your own life.
Only with her.
Right. Wait, do you record your own stuff?
Nope, just her.
Well, I think you should. Don't you think you should include your own stuff?
I think she'd be very interested in that.
Yeah.
Well, like I include my reactions. Like with our first date, I wrote down what I thought when I saw her.
Oh.
The night I met her, I wrote down what I thought when I saw. I wrote down what I thought when I was sitting there talking to her. She came to youth group to talk to the kids about some of the ministry she was doing, some of the missions trips she's done, and I was sitting in the corner like an idiot, just kind of sitting there jaw slack looking at her and trying to come up with a reason to get her number. But I remember that stuff. But
you could do the standard. I'd like to be in a prayer circle.
Let's hold hands.
She was actually going to Madagascar, and I made up a. Well, I didn't. This sounds awful. I wasn't lying to her, but I didn't really know if it was 100% true. But so I told her that I had traveled for work and made it seem like it was a much bigger deal than it was because I'd only traveled for work like twice. But I was like, I've been to Asia before once. I probably have some frequent flyer miles. Maybe I can help you get there. And I had no idea if I even had a miles card, let alone like if I could even use those miles for her. But I told her, let me get your number from you, and I'll give you a call tomorrow if I can get those frequent flyer miles.
That worked?
It totally worked. Turns out that she had a total crush on me from like 3 months earlier, so whatever I would have said, I probably would have gotten her number. But that was the sly thing I came up with.
I might have some frequent flyer miles for you.
Right? I'm like, here's the deal. Like, I was sitting there praying. I'm like, God, there's no way I'm going to let her go without, like, continuing this. Like, there's no way.
And use the frequent flyer miles.
Exactly. God goes, hey, man, she's going to be a significant part of your life. I'm like, I got this, God. Frequent flyer miles. We're going to get her number this way. How's that sound, right?
No, I got this one,
Lord. Yeah, he goes, hey, man, this is going to be a real cool story. And I go, I got it. Frequent flyer miles, Delta, let's go. Like, that's what I had. I got her number, though.
Hey, that's a God that can do all things, you know?
That is the truth. He shows up through frequent flyer miles and goes, yeah, give him your number.
All right. Anyway, good job, Boova. That's a way to keep track of that stuff.
I'm very impressed.
Yeah.
I feel like I should write your story someday.
I think you should.
Here's the deal. I do most of this stuff in fear of not being impressive. Like, I don't want to be the guy that's a schmuck in a relationship. Like, I want to be the best boyfriend she's ever had and will ever have and hopefully the best husband, right? And so I don't want to look back and say, man, I really wish I would have done that time. And I try and do stuff beforehand and now.
That's
so
smart.
Far, it's worked.
No, yeah. I mean,
so far, I'm doing all right.
I look like a bridge troll, so there's no other reason. She's drop-dead gorgeous, and I'm the size of her vehicle. So there's no reason other than journaling boyfriend.
That's right.
I
journal, and I have
frequent flyer miles. Journaling boyfriend. That's what I got.
There's the title of your story right there. I got it. Yes.
Flyer and the journaling boyfriend.
If you would read numbers, I'm telling you, buried in the book of numbers is the key to success. And it's frequent flyer miles and journaling. But
you.
No, nobody want to read
it. I think I called a couple airlines that I've never even flown. And I'm like, have I flown your airline before? I really need to get a gal to Madagascar.
Right. Let me get down to the brass tacks, American Airlines. You don't know me, I don't know you. But I need this girl to go to Madagascar.
Air Scandinavia, I've never been near your country nor your airline. But
does
I
she
know
the truth now?
Yeah, I told her a couple weeks after we started dating, I was like, I hope you realize I had no idea if I had frequent flyer miles or if I was going to be able to get you Madagascar. She goes, it didn't matter what you said. I was going to give you my number. I'm like, score.
Wow.
Yeah. The Lord put me in a light in her eyes. So,
see,
thanks.
Once again, you said you were going to use the frequent flyer miles. Say, he goes, I don't care.
Yeah. He's like, whatever you say. Just don't say something stupid or mean, you'll be fine. I'm like, all right, God, I'll say frequent flyer miles.
The book is Completely Captivated by Crystal Joy. Go to crystaljoybooks.com and you can check that out. And hey, there's other stories out on the website, and there's also a spot where you can catch up with some of the couples that are in the book. And you can find out about additional information about them. You also have a section. Now, here's my mistake. I go out there and I look and I say, hey, other books going on. And, like, there's a synopsis of a couple of the books happening. And I thought, oh, man, shoot, I'm not going to be able to read those before the interview. It turns out they ain't out yet.
Oh.
So, I mean, that's what the sailors call off the hook. I'm not in the downer for having not read the books. But so you have a synopsis of a couple of fiction books out there that are still pending publishing, right?
Correct, yes. So Shackledar is completely done. Been trying to negotiate a contract with the publishing company for that one. But yeah, it's completely written. Yeah, Charlie is the main character, and he's been in my head for a really, really long time. So it was so nice to finally get that story done. But that's a story of a man who has made a lot of mistakes, and he finds someone who loves him despite the mistakes he's made in his past.
Yeah, that one looks like a grabber. Like, the synopsis that's out on the website, like, one of the things I liked about, and part of the reason I'm bringing them up, because I'm excited for them, is there's some difficult premises here for some folks. Like, the premises of the book are, you know, flawed characters or, you know, potentially good characters in flawed or at least difficult situations, and watching people navigate through them. And it has a cool tie to kind of the overview of Completely Captivated, because you're it's just dealing with real people, right? Like, seeing the beauty in real things, seeing the tragedy in real things, seeing the honesty in dealing with real things. You don't have to have the situations are real to someone. Like you're not too distant from some of these things that are going on or could have gone on, or even minor changes in your own life could have led you in paths that sounded like these circumstances. And that's one of the things I really like to see is people actually go through those and work through them, and come out on the other side. And sometimes it's not a rosy other side. It's just another side. But like the premise of both of the books, that you have pending, seem very interesting and very cool and very honest to me. And so those are pending negotiation. Hopefully things go well. The wheels get greased and those get out, because I'm excited for those.
I appreciate that.
Should we make a phone call? We're fairly high up in the media.
Yeah, business. Yeah. I'll probably
get some frequent flyer miles.
I was going to offer that we can do the old pen and scribe method to produce this book. I mean, we'll get a couple copies done every 6 months.
Yes.
We're actually writing the copies.
You'll be.
Hey, you love writing, Booba. This is right up your alley.
Man, I never said my handwriting was good.
No, that's what makes him unique.
Yeah.
And honest.
Ah, gotcha. Okay.
I was going to say, when she was telling that story where she did a book signing at the Barnes & Noble or whatever, I'm like, I tried that once. I said, but it turns out,
buy a couple copies of another book.
You
that's
can't
not
sit
yours.
There and sign Oprah's books and expect people to be happy with you. So that was the end of that.
All right. So once again, it's crystaljoybooks.com. We've been talking with Crystal Joy. Pick up Completely Captivated. You can get it on. I got it on the read it on the e-reader. Reads well. It's a quick read. Like, you can get through it pretty easily. And even if you don't have a long time to sit down, you can read the individual stories as they go. There's a couple surprises in there. A lot of real touching moments, and some good reminders that that all love is unique. The relationships that you maybe far from the beginning of, and don't realize how interesting they were, how cool they were. And I really like the idea of kind of asking around and saying, hey, look, you know, what do you remember about when we were dating? That seems like a really cool way to kind of see your life, in a unique way, and, to kind of rekindle the things that you remember about it, and watch all that kind of merge together in a really cool story that you, may have forgotten that you had. So, again, that's Crystal Joy and Completely Captivated. Go to crystaljoybooks.com and you can pick that up. Crystal's going to hang out in the studio. We got some other stuff going on, and she's going to chime in, correct Boova when he's wrong. And that's the setup for the day. So so far so good, Crystal. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
All right, Mike, are you ready for this thing?
Yeah. So here's my question: Is what is love, right? Like if people say, like, I have a captivating love story, or me and this person are in love. How do you even know, you know, if you're in love? And so what I did is I came up with some scenarios for everyone to look at, and I'm gonna kind of give you the basis of a situation, and based on what I've told you, you're gonna say, is this love? And you're gonna answer yes or no. Now, to be fair, I'm gonna add more details to the story after you answered to see whether you're correct or not.
Wait, so it says we're being set up, really, is what you're saying?
Yep.
The game is
every time
Mike sets you up. That's
for
the game.
For looking like a fool about love.
It doesn't have as much traction as the way that I've sold it. So the game is entitled, Is This Love? Ben?
Shoot, I didn't craft an opening. You've stumbled upon America's second fastest growing internet game show, Is This Love?
Yeah.
Featuring Mike Poofton. Okay. And our special guest, Crystal Joy. Good luck, Crystal.
Okay, ready? Is This Love? Question 1. A man sets up a romantic dinner for his 10-year marriage anniversary filled with candles, chocolates, and gifts. Is this love? Crystal.
I think he's saying, sorry, I missed the real anniversary yesterday, and I'm making up for it now. So I'm going to go with no.
Oh, man. Crystal's in with, probably, it's not love, it's regret.
Probably not love. Boova.
My answer is not nearly as credible. Because I was going to say yes and just go, hey, chocolate. That's all I got.
All I heard was chocolate.
Man, do I not understand marriage? I thought chocolates was a heck yeah.
No, Crystal's right. That's an apology.
I think it's an I'm sorry.
I'm willing to stick my neck out in this situation and say, yes, this is love.
Boova thinks it's love. Ben,
hit me with the deets again.
A man sets up a romantic dinner for his 10-year marriage anniversary filled with candles, chocolates, and gifts. Is this love?
Yeah, he's overdone it. That's not love. I'm with Crystal on this one.
10 years? All right, fine.
He's overdone it.
I'm sticking with yes.
The correct answer is no. His anniversary isn't until next month.
Oh, yes.
Come on.
No,
this is not love.
A valid attempt.
Question. Wait, Mike, is there a point system to this game?
Yeah, I win.
Okay, noted.
Question two.
So whose love is it anyway?
A beautiful young woman takes pictures of all of her food she's buying at the store and sends it to her significant other. Is this love?
Boova. Boova's first.
I knew I was going to kick it. This is just the mundane everyday of marriage, and yes, this is love.
Boova says, yes, this is love. Ben.
Yeah, I think she's gently trying to remind him of something to do with food. So and that's nice. That's loving. That's love.
Ben goes with love. I'm in. Crystal.
I'm going to have to agree. I think there's something special with her sending her those pictures of food. Yes.
Unanimous for the Whole Foods love.
Everyone says, yes, this is love. A beautiful young woman takes pictures of all the food she's buying at the store and sends it to her significant other. Is this love? Yes. They are the ingredients to his favorite meal.
Yeah, buddy.
Oh,
well done, crowd.
I knew it.
Hey, we're good at this game, except for Boova.
Yeah, question three. Good. There's five questions total, so if you hate this game, hang on a little tighter.
Okay.
Just got done with finals.
Question three. A handsome young man takes pictures of all the food he's buying at the store and texts it to a lady. Is this love? Ben Foose.
No, he's being passive aggressive in some manner or another. This is not love.
This is not love. Crystal.
I'm going to say no. He's probably telling her what he wants her to cook him. So no.
This love is a sharp knife. Boova.
Oh,
is
man.
This love?
I want to care for this man. I want him to be in love. But I must say no, because he's probably saying, hey, these ingredients, the meal I'd like for you to come and get tonight, please. No.
A handsome man takes a picture of all the food he's buying at the store and texts it to a lady. Is this love? No. He lives with his mom and he's 40.
Oh, I see.
Oh, man.
I see.
Yeah, no.
That was even worse than I thought it was going to be.
That one is not love.
Poor Randy.
Is there an intermission?
Yeah, sure. Question four.
Excellent.
Question four on, is this love?
Okay. Is this love? Okay, no, that's what I'm going to do for now. I got it. This love?
An old man goes through his wife's purse early in the morning before she awakes, putting all the contents on the table. Is this love?
Ooh.
Crystal.
Ooh.
This is a hard one.
Ooh.
I'm wondering what he's searching for.
An old man goes through his wife's purse early in the morning before she awakes, putting all the contents on the table. Is this love?
I'm going to say yes. He's searching for something to give him a clue on a date, which, okay, maybe he forgot, but at least he's searching and he cares, and that would be loving.
A wrong backstory for this old man.
I was going to say, that's a lot more than
I'm a writer, I'm sorry.
Crystal sees into his soul.
I see into his pockets. I say yes because he's grabbing the keys for his wife's car to go start it.
Ooh.
Ooh,
Boova.
He's going to love her practically and make sure her car's warm when she goes to work.
Boova also goes with yes. Ben.
Now, the old man part is a ruse. It's still a dude. He's in fifing around for something that he's not supposed to. That's not love.
He's looking for gum without asking.
He needs cash money. He was at the casino all night. He's got $20.
Sweetheart, I blew our life savings again.
An old man goes through his wife's purse early in the morning before she awakes, putting all the contents on the table. Is this love? Yes. He's trying to find her keys. She loses them almost every day, and he's trying to help her early in the morning.
Yeah, buddy.
Keep her close.
Yeah, buddy.
Nicely done. Boom.
That's what's up.
Final question for...
Is this love? Is that what I did?
Weirder.
Yeah,
is
that
this
is,
no.
You're not James Earl Jones.
I forgot it already.
No, I thought we had something that we didn't.
My intermission was better than that.
Is this love?
final question. A guy listens to Live from the Path every morning on the way to work. Is this love? Booba.
No. You need to find something better to do.
Booba says no.
Every morning?
Every morning. It's too much.
Maybe once a week to catch up on the show, but not every day.
Is it my turn?
Yeah.
Yes, that's love. He wants to be a better man.
Yeah. Yeah. Crystal.
Yes, I agree. That's dedication
urban
right
gentleman.
There.
A guy listens to the third way man. A guy listens to Life from the Path every morning on the way to work. Is this love? Yes, obviously. Yes.
That's the whole.
Yeah, no backstory needed. That's a solid man.
Yeah,
that's it.
Hold on.
I was going to say, you play it?
I got to work on it. I got to let me work something up.
You were slipping slowly into Barry White, and it got weird.
Okay, I don't know. I might.
Is this love?
I might rig this game up again. We'll see.
It's the right way to do it.
There's no other good. No other good reason to have this game on unless Crystal's on. But like,
I guess I'll have to come back.
Yeah, I guess so.
Agreed.
You could. Hey, are you willing to Skype in? That way, you don't have to travel.
I'll travel. I get to see my family.
Okay,
so it's
done.
Okay. It's a good excuse.
All right, Mike. Whenever you want to do this, we got to give Crystal a couple weeks heads up.
No problem.
Okay. All right. Hold on.
And now for America's fastest growing game show. Secular or Solomon?
Is this why I wasn't the Is This Love not the fastest growing game show? It's because Secular
is Solomon?
Yeah,
Secular
this is
Solomon.
The fastest growing game show.
Well, that makes sense.
Is This Love a second?
Obviously.
Yeah. Hey, you've stumbled upon, after listening to America's second fastest growing game show, this is now America's fastest growing internet game show, Secular versus Solomon. Here's the premise of the game. We're going to give you a proverb, a bit of wisdom. And the point is to figure out, like, do we know where our wisdom is coming from? Do you think Ben Franklin said everything from the Bible? Or do, like, when we say a true thing, a bit of wisdom, and we think it's biblical, is it actually biblical? So here's what I'm going to do. I'll give you the bit of wisdom, and you tell me if it is a secular bit of wisdom or Solomon, if it's from the Bible. And if it's a secular bit of wisdom, I want the country of origin. We need to know where this wisdom is being dealt out. That sound good?
Let's do this.
Everybody understand the rules?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Oh, I've lost it. All right. Here we go. Secular versus Solomon, starting with Booba. A prudent man does not make the goat his gardener. A prudent man does not make the goat his gardener. Secular or Solomon?
Solomon, Proverbs 14.
He's in with Solomon, Proverbs 14. Mike.
Ben.
Huh?
Secular. Pakistan.
Wait, say it again?
Secular Pakistan.
Pakistani?
Secular Pakistan.
Okay, there you go. No, I got you.
Been a country
all right,
for
so
like
your microphone wasn't working.
Right.
All right, so Mike's in with secular Pakistan. A prudent man does not make the goat his gardener, secular or Solomon. Crystal Joy.
I think it's biblical.
So you're in with Solomon?
Yes, Solomon.
Okay. All right, here we go.
You've been sucked into Booba's bravado. He does this when he doesn't know the answer.
I do it regardless.
A prudent man does not make the goat his gardener. It is secular hungry.
Yes.
What?
Secular hungry.
You caught me with prudent.
That's what got me, too.
Yep.
Come on, man.
You're the Pied Piper of lies, Booba.
I'm sorry. I just go off the adjectives and they're Proverbs 1, and I go, whenever wise or knowledgeable or equitable or prudent shows up.
You've read Proverbs. Ain't nothing about no goat being the gardener.
You never know.
Although, actually, goats generally just eat the weeds. And so it actually would be a pretty sweet move to let the goat be the gardener.
So the Hungarians are incorrect.
Yeah. Like, I got a couple goats at home, and I thought...
I know.
It was like a cartoon. I thought I'd get them and then tie them up places, and they'd mow the grass. And they don't. They just eat all the weeds and leave the grass to grow. And so it's like 6 foot tall grass around them.
Oh, man, your goats.
So anyway, the Hungarians nailed it.
All right, fine. I still say
maybe,
good points.
Maybe the people in Hungary grow something particular that the goats enjoy. Like rose.
I can't expand upon that, Ben.
Okay, all right, fair enough. All right, secular versus Solomon. Let's see. When the tempest passes, the wicked is no more, but the righteous is established forever. When the tempest passes, the wicked is no more, but the righteous is established forever. Secular or Solomon, Mike.
Oh, man.
I was getting those buzzwords in there.
Tempest passes. I mean, what version of the Bible are you using, Ben?
English Standard Version.
Okay, then that's going to be Solomon.
Nice distinction. Crystal Joy, secular or Solomon?
Solomon.
Solomon? All right, she's in for Solomon. Booba.
Solomon, Proverbs 5.
Proverbs 5.
Specifically.
All right. When the tempest passes, the wicked is no more, but the righteous is established forever. It is indeed Solomon, Proverbs 10.
Ah!
Proverbs 10.
I was five away.
Hey, your braggadocious behavior is a 10-point deduction.
Yep. What?
Minus 10.
Why am I always on the losing side of the battle?
Braggadocio.
When do I get to choose the points?
Secular or Solomon? The people curse him who holds back grain, but a blessing is on the head of him who sells it. The people curse him who holds back grain, but a blessing is on the head of him who sells it. Secular or Solomon, Crystal?
Secular China.
Secular China. Grain thieves in China. Booba, you're up.
Solomon, Proverbs 11.
Proverbs 11. Booba's in. Mike?
Man, I thought it was definitely Proverbs, but that China thing got me thinking. I'm going to say secular. No. I'm going to go Solomon, Proverbs 15.
Solomon, Proverbs 15. The people curse him who holds back grain, but a blessing is on the head of him who sells it. It is indeed Solomon, Proverbs 11.
Yeah.
Booba regains his 10 points.
Guess what's up?
No, that's another negative 10. I don't want your ego getting out of hand.
That's fair. Yeah, no, that's fair. You're
putting
me in the right seat. Put me in the right seat.
Crystal, I can't really deduct your points, but I can put a frowny face by your name. And I'm going to get a point because I'm administering the points.
And you've offended every greedy Chinese grain dealer that listens to the program. Thanks a lot.
All three of them.
I'm in trouble.
Secular or Solomon, if you are ugly, learn how to dance. If you are ugly, learn how to dance. Secular or Solomon, Booba.
Secular, my father. Sean Englinger. Secular.
No,
I'm going to go secular Italy.
That's offensive. Mike, secular or Solomon?
secular and Germany.
Couldn't we both have gone with Italy just to keep the offense down?
No.
Let's just offend the same group of people. Just keep it there.
Crystal for the trifecta. If you are ugly, learn how to dance.
Hey, we have both the
secular or Solomon?
Secular, for sure. But what country?
Russia.
You know, I'm just going to go with the U.S.
It's safe to poke the bear internally.
Poke fun at
yourself. Yours was worse, though, because you had time to think about it. Those two just spit it out. You're like, you know what? I really thought of this, and it's definitely American.
It sounds like something an American would say. I'm sorry.
If you are ugly, learn how to dance. It is secular Zambia. Zambia.
That was my second answer.
Yeah, exactly. It's very close geographically to Italy.
All right. I'm going to give myself a point, but everyone else got nothing.
You got a point for Germany?
Yeah. There's no worse seat to be in than yours. See, if you were the point administrator or the guy that reads, you can't lose.
Yeah, fair enough.
Secular or Solomon, if you find the residents of a place worshipping a donkey, bring the beast some grass. If you find the residents of a place worshipping a donkey, bring the beast some grass. Secular or Solomon, Mike?
Secular Netherlands. Definitely.
They got donkey deity problems in the Netherlands.
Definitely do.
Crystal Joy.
That is honestly exactly what I was going to say.
That's what I'm
going to say. I promise.
You get a point right now.
I promise.
What?
Being agreeable, do you get your point?
Absolutely. I'm a crooked
Why
point
are you
keeper.
Not told me?
Wait, so you're in with secular Netherlands?
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Yes.
Stick with it.
Yes, I'm sticking with it.
Okay.
Boover tried to Google it. 10-point deduction.
Put that phone
down. Hey, man, I got a Snapchat. Leave me know.
Do the Dutch worship donkeys.
I'm going to go secular France.
Interesting. All right. If you find the residents of a place worshiping a donkey, bring the beast some grass. It is secular Morocco.
Yeah.
Secular
very close
Morocco.
To France.
By the way, this is bad advice.
Just
because the Moroccans say it doesn't mean it's a good idea. You see somebody worshiping something weird, you don't figure out what it eats and bring some by. I get where it's coming from, but that's not wisdom. Secular Solomon, whoever puts up security for a stranger will surely suffer harm, but he who hates striking hands in pledge is secure. Whoever puts up security for a stranger will surely suffer harm, but he who hates striking hands in pledge is secure. Secular or Solomon, Crystal?
Solomon.
She's in for Solomon, Booba.
Solomon, Proverbs 7.
Proverbs 7, Mike.
I don't have the faintest idea what that means, Ben. Why wouldn't you want to keep security for a guy who's in the troubles?
Wait, read it again.
Whoever puts up security for a stranger will surely suffer harm. You're taking a risk on a guy you don't know. But he who hates making pledges is secure. It's better to avoid making a pledge on somebody's behalf you don't know.
Right?
It's like the movie Rounders, Mike. It ends up on the guy.
What?
It's on.
Be wise with your money.
You vouch for the wrong guy. Now it's on you.
Oh, your securities. Like a cash
yeah,
money.
Yeah, not like yeah. a not like a fence.
Not yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah,
like
no,
there's a wayward guy and we're like, wait, I can't take you in. Yeah. But my word is my bond. I was really confused.
I'm gonna put up a fence to keep you out.
This is the problem of being an idiot. I don't understand half the stuff we're talking about. I'm gonna go
talk about Proverbs, you gotta say fool.
I'm gonna go with Proverbs and what chapter did you put out?
Seven.
Yeah. Six.
Yeah, it's Price is Right rules. Good call, Mike. Whoever puts up security for a stranger will surely suffer harm, but he who hates striking hands in pledge is secure. It is indeed Solomon, Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11.
11 again.
Someone should have caught on to my laziness and know I start picking all from the same Proverbs chapter.
When I'm short on time. Some securities in there. Somebody about sluggards.
Here we go. Secular versus Solomon. Catch the bear before you sell his skin. Catch the bear before you sell his skin. Secular or Solomon Bova?
Secular Canada.
You're a one-trick pony.
Physiological response
now
to me being correct.
A different answer.
Mike,
I'm going to go, what do you say, the bear? Secular Russia.
All right, secular Russia. Crystal, catch the bear before you sell his skin.
Well, I'm going to come up with something different.
I was going to say, he's going to dock you points if you agree with me.
I know, I can't agree with you. Secular...
Who else has bears?
That's what I'm thinking. I know.
Who's heavy on bears?
Are there bears in Nepal?
Does Africa have bears?
Absolutely.
Yes. We're going to go with Africa.
That's
why
a point.
Not?
Congratulations.
That's a terrible answer.
Didn't Toto do a song on that? I seen the bears down in
I believe that was planes
Africa.
In Africa.
Tricky.
I thought it was rains in Africa.
I think it's rains in Africa.
I thought it was planes.
Wow.
I thought it was Danes.
I thought it was Danes.
All three would be creepy.
Catch the bear before you sell his skin. It is secular Vietnam.
Yeah.
What?
Vietnam.
You don't have bears in Vietnam, do they?
Shows what you know.
Yeah, look what your stereotypes have done.
Yeah.
I just
planes like, in Africa.
Maybe I'm just thinking like all of Asia, there's no way there's bears.
People have to have...
Pandas exist in
Are you saying
Asia.
People have to have bears to have a proverb about bears?
I would hope that they do.
I feel like
why would they feel like they're wise enough to say something about an animal they don't know about?
Here's the thing. I feel like I would understand that you shouldn't sell a bear skin unless you've caught the beast.
But why wouldn't they?
Whether I live in a bear country or otherwise.
I agree with Ben.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a good point.
Of course you do. You
Ben, how many points deducted do you think Bova should have?
I think 75.
Wow, we were on a one-point situation, and now we move to there's no way I'm winning.
Man.
Your obstinance knows no bounds.
Well,
secular or Solomon. Let's see. Treasures gained by wickedness do no profit, but righteousness delivers from death. Treasures gained by wickedness do no profit, but righteousness delivers from death. Secular or Solomon Bova?
Wait a minute. You started with Bova the last
yeah,
three
you
times.
Did. This is a mic deal. No, it wasn't last three.
Go ahead, Bova.
Hey.
Solomon Proverbs 4.
I'm the kingpin of an internet radio program. I will do what I want.
Sorry. The mic's your daredevil.
Bova's in your Proverbs 4?
4.
All right, yep. Mike.
It's got all the earmarks of Proverbs. Proverbs 12.
Crystal.
All right, I'm going to go with Proverbs 22.
She's in with Proverbs 22. Treasures gained by wickedness do not profit, but righteousness delivers from death. It heralds from King Solomon. Proverbs 10. Proverbs 10.
I get
10.
Stuck in righteousness.
Everybody gets a point.
Hey, man, by the way, I was wrong. It is I bless the rains down in Africa.
You were
Toto.
Googling stuff.
Put that down.
Well, this time, yeah. I wanted
Negative
to know if I was right about Africa.
37.
Wow.
You did gain a point for your correct Solomon answer.
Hey, cool.
So, all right. Here we go. If you're playing along with the home game, this is the final. This is the final question. Tally up your points. Be ready for put all the bets on the line. Mike, hey, yeah, I'm going to introduce betting into the final round.
Sure.
Mike, how many you want to put on?
Let's see. I have a total of 9 points. I'd like to bet them all.
Okay, Mike's all in Final Jeopardy. Bova?
Bova,
I think I got a negative something.
You're a negative 142.
You're willing to borrow at least 50 from the bank.
Yeah.
211.
Okay, that's right on. Crystal?
How many points do I have?
You have 4 tallies and a frowny face.
I was going to say, how much is the frowny face?
I'll bet my frowny face. Yeah.
Frowny face is actually worth double frownies.
Does that round. Automatically make it a smiley face if she wins?
Yeah. Actually,
ooh,
if
I
you
like
put
that.
Two frowny faces together, it looks like that cool German M. Right, because it's got the two dots above it. So that's got to be worth big points.
There you go. I'll take it.
Yeah, like from the Meijer grocery store, or gas station. They got an M with two dots on it.
What is the Meijer? Whatever.
I can't deal with you. Here we go.
All right.
Secular versus Solomon. This is for all the rabbits.
Redemption.
Anger without power is folly. Anger without power is folly.
Watch him.
Keep an eye on him. He says folly and try to trick you.
He does say folly and try to trick you.
Secular or Solomon, honor guest, Crystal Joy.
The one I don't know.
Yeah.
Right.
The one proverb that I'm missing.
I memorized all of them, but I knew this one was going to come up someday.
It sounds more secular to me.
Oh, bold.
Okay, secular.
I got to pick a country.
Country option?
I'm going to go with Canada.
No bears. Lots of folly. Hey, Canada.
The angry Canadians. Anger without power is folly. Secular versus Solomon. Booba.
Hold on. I'd like to take all 9 of my points and bet against Crystal. Am I allowed to do that?
Yeah, that's permitted.
Go ahead.
Is that betting against? Okay. Can you read it one more time for me?
Anger without power is folly, don't you know?
Don't you know? Nice. I'm going to bet against the folly. I'm going to say secular.
Secular?
And I'm going to say North Korea. Yep. We're going to see if we have any North Korean listeners today.
I'd like to actually move by 9 over to against Korea. So, North Korea move.
I heard anger without power. That sounds like a North Korean thing to say.
Anger.
I don't know many North Koreans.
You know what? We just start a war right now. Go ahead.
Anger without power.
Is internet blocked?
Is folly. Secular Solomon.
Solomon.
Mike's in for Solomon.
Ooh.
Straight up Solomon.
You heard that folly.
All chapters.
Oh. Beginning verse of every chapter.
If you're going to be peeve, you better have the power to back it up.
That's right.
Solomon agrees. All right, here we go. Anger without power is folly. Secular.
Yes.
German.
Dang.
Come on.
Man.
No one saw German coming?
We already betted against the Axis of Evil earlier.
We went through two world wars with this country.
Here's
we can't pick out anger
Germany
without power.
Germany originally said it, but I know as a matter of fact that North Korea took that and said, yeah, we're going to say that again.
That doesn't count.
Okay,
that's
Booba,
a mean steal.
Booba ended up 422 points in the hole.
What? I feel like I got that last one right.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. That was being generous.
Wow. All right, well.
Crystal ended up with two smiley faces, or two frowny faces, encapsulated by a box I drew around them.
Hey, the German M.
Are they happy now?
No, they're still pretty disappointed.
No, misery loves company.
We'll put a beard on one of them or something, straighten that up. And then I came out as a victor with 9 points total.
Hey, how did that happen?
Yeah, I
feel like you really set yourself up for this one by being the point keeper.
Here's what they don't tell you in school. How to win at life. You carried a pin, you grabbed a pad. That's how people win.
I should have brought my clipboard in.
That's true. Shoot, that's wisdom, though. But, Booba, you've worked in a corporate environment. No one wants to be the note taker. But if you're the note taker,
You
control the discussion later on because no one's going to remember what happened except for you wrote down Ben's idea was good.
Yeah, Bill had mustard on his tie. Doofus.
Mike brought pastries. Everyone loved them.
All right, if you want to catch past clips of the show, you can go to livefromthepath.org, including you want to play the Secular versus Solomon home game, Catching from the Past. We've done Secular versus Solomon with the likes of Foreverlin, Chandra Knutson. Who's in here that was just in town recently?
Akers?
Yeah. Akers, I think, has done some Secular Solomon.
Yep.
Oh, I'm sure he has.
Yeah.
Has Silverside ever done?
I don't know.
Righteous Vendetta.
Righteous Vendetta. Yep, that's right.
Yeah. We get
of people.
We'll see if we can get Tim Timmons in here for Secular Solomon.
Yes.
Definitely.
Okay. But anyway, I will post Crystal's clip of Secular Solomon so it may live in infamy, as this day shall. And
Secular North Korea.
Then you can play at the home game. There's some other games out there. You can play Things Heard on Christian Radio to raise money. Where I was
$1,000 to the apostle level.
$1,000 to the apostle level. And the end of the world as we know it. Like, these are all the prognostications about how the world was going to end. Where did they come from?
Hey, man, why you got to use prognostications?
Because I called you braggadocious, and I like to keep a high standard.
Here's what I just realized, and I'm feeling slightly convicted about. I moved chairs so I wouldn't be able to see the answer and cheat. And then I just turned around and cheated anyway when I was keeping score. So that's
Well, thanks for being honest about it.
That's convicting.
Mike, that's
we had integrity in that game.
Mike, that's 10 extra points for your honesty post-game.
Thanks, man. That's a total of 19 for me. The Lord shines.
Hey, the same sun that melts the wax hardens the clay.
What is
hey.
This participation trophy kind of stuff going
Someone
on in this place?
Congratulations to Mike on this paper.
I feel like what I owe somebody deal. Money for this deal.
All right, you're listening to Live from the Path. We're in studio with Crystal Joy. You go to crystaljoybooks.com. You can pick up her book, Completely Captivated. And also, she's got other stuff out there. Crystal, are you a blogger? Do you blog?
I do not.
Have you considered blogging?
No.
Okay.
Good move. Just don't feel Solid like I'm no. a blogger right now.
No, I think that's fine. I'm a bad blogger. I blog once every 2 years. So, I mean, it's best to stay out of the game. That's the right move. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, doing the short stories was enough for now. So we'll just see what happens with that first. But maybe eventually.
Okay.
But just don't feel like I have time right now.
I agree. You agree she doesn't have
time? You agree that
she
doesn't
have time to keep up on blogs. Even people that I like, they write a blog and I'm like, eh.
I think I tried to read a blog once and I was just like, meh. Yeah. I'm going to go to Facebook.
Yeah. Can you sum it up in a meme?
Yeah. Is there any way you can make this a 15-second news clip that really doesn't mean anything to me?
Can you have Batman slapping a guy and say it that way?
Who's Grumpy Cat in this situation? Well, come on, man.
That's sad, really.
Hey, that would be...
That's true.
That would be funny. Crystal, can you think of a meme that that you would be willing to use to describe your book? Maybe put the thought on it.
I wouldn't. I probably wouldn't.
I was actually.
I have no idea.
I had in my mind, like, how would I, if I was a guy who was tasked with selling your book and was forced to use that Batman slapping a Robin meme to sell it, like, what would I put in the boxes?
You would say, our love story isn't interesting.
Quack.
Yes.
All love stories are interesting. Meme.
It doesn't have the title of the book in it, Mike.
Oh, right.
Okay, anyway, I might put the thought on that.
See that idiot?
And then, like, a second word blurb that says, hey, by the way, you should check this book out.
Yeah, send it to me if you think of something.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
This is what I have time for.
I can't
will
blog,
you
every
blog
2 years,
for me?
I'll make you a meme for your book.
Yes. Yes, I will. I will ghost blog for your site.
Priorities.
Perfect.
All right, you're listening to Life from the Path. Let's see, what time we got here? Buva?
Yeah.
What's up?
I heard that someone mistook you for the Pope this week.
Oh, man, it was awful.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, how do you get people to go away if you're mistaken for the Pope?
Well, I was given some wisdom once that the best way to get people off my lawn when I'm told that people have been going around to the local watering hole saying, hey, that Buva guy's the Pope.
Buva's the Pope.
Oh, man. I've been told that I need to come up with some kind of papal wisdom that has to do with my life. It has to be specific about me, but will also mean something to them to get them to go away.
They call it a bull.
A bull?
A papal bull.
A papal bull?
That's your, yeah.
Papal bull.
No, no, it's not a joke.
Is this supposed to be a pun?
No.
Should have been in on this from the beginning.
No, it's a legit thing. Never mind, go ahead.
Whatever. Propositional or whatever you said earlier. Braggadocious. So I've been in college now for a whole semester, and I feel like I am qualified now to speak on the situation, now that I've been there for 3 months. People keep coming up to me, as in young guy, but older than them is probably the best way to put it. I'm a safe bet for 18, 19 year olds to talk to about life, because they recognize that I'm young enough to kind of still be able to play ball with them, but I'm older than they are and a little bit further along in my life, so I can try and talk to them. And I keep running into situations where people come up to me and they've got something that's going on, whether it be a boyfriend that's going bad or a girlfriend that's going bad, that they want to get out of this relationship because they don't feel like they're worth anything in this, or they're having troubles with their friends because their friends just aren't treating them right, and they don't want to lose all their friends, so they're just kind of dealing with the fact that their friends are treating them like crap. And then this kind of came to a head because I got a call at 3 o'clock in the morning a couple of nights ago from a gal. That had just, I'll spare most of the details, but she had just basically gone on a date with a guy. The date ended poorly, with this guy being just a general schmuck, and I'll save his deal with that. He was just being a schmuck and did some stuff that I'm not, proud to say that I'm the same gender as the guy. She calls me up and wants to talk to me about this. And I start telling her, I'm so sorry that this happened. I'm so sorry that, you were subjected to that kind of, a situation, and like that he treated you so poorly. And her response was the saddest thing I've heard in a very long time, which was, oh, I'm used to it. And I go, what do you mean? She goes, well, this happens all the time. I go on dates and then these guys just try and treat me a certain way. And it's just, it, you get used to it after a while. And I literally almost started crying at that. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. That this gal, who is a daughter of the living king of the universe, that calls her loved and wanted, she has been belittled to the point where she thinks that a guy treating her like a piece of meat and like she is worthless, she's used to it. And there's a certain responsibility on the dude for being just a general jerk in the situation, but it also kind of comes back, not in any way on fault of hers, but she needs to realize her identity. And we kind of started talking about that, and I said, who are you? Who do you define yourself as? And she kind of wasn't able to give me an answer. And we started talking about what Jesus calls her, which is loved, which is his daughter. All these different things. And she's has the potential to be perfect through his sacrifice. And he died on that cross. He was murdered on the cross for her. And all this different stuff. And it killed me that she had no clue that was who she should call herself, is a daughter of Christ and a daughter of the King. It got me thinking that this is a scenario where if someone had understood their identity, which we all don't, we're still trying to figure it out, but started to understand her identity, maybe she would have felt like she had the worth that she does to be able to possibly avoid the situation in the first place, but be able to stand up and not say that she is used to it or deserves it in some way. And it kind of branched out into me thinking about how many situations where people are lacking the self-esteem that they need to carry on, are lacking the self-esteem and self-respect they need to get out of a relationship that's awful, or get out of a friendship that's awful, or take a stand for themselves. How many situations could be fixed by truly understanding our identity as who we are, as Christ calls us? You know, it's impossible. Well, I shouldn't say impossible. It's difficult to find yourself hurt by things like this and hurt by words, as much as we are when we truly understand who God calls us to be. And it kind of made me start thinking because, you know, I've been a big guy my whole life. And I've been made fun of in all kinds of situations. Like I've been called Shamu. I've been called, you know, fatty, no, whatever, just a lot of stuff. And people have been rude to me. People have rolled down their windows driving past me on the side of the road. Like I've gotten some mean stuff. And I look back on that and I honestly don't know if I'd still be standing today with any self-respect and any self-esteem and any self-worth if I did not truly have somewhat of a grasp of who God calls me to be and who I am based off of who my King is. You know, I'm a citizen of the kingdom of Christ. I'm a son of the living God. I'm an anointed son based off of what God calls me. I'm all these different things that Jesus claims that I am and God claims that I am based off of the love that he offers me. And that is so important, for me to start understanding who I'm supposed to be. You know, I'm not belittled by the world in a way that it really shuts me down because of the fact that I understand who Christ calls me and who God calls me to be. And it just, it hurt me. It hurt my heart that I know who her father is. And he looks at her with so much more worth and love in his eyes than she could ever even imagine. We don't even have the words for it. And she has been broken down to the point where she says something like, I'm used to it, or I don't deserve better. And it sickened me. It really hurt me. And I don't have a whole lot of advice to you other than take a step back. And if you're in a place where you have been treated this poorly, or if you're in a place where your friends are treating you poorly, or you are treating yourself poorly, where you don't have the self-esteem that you should, or don't have the self-worth that you should, I want you to take a step back and really try and figure out who God calls you to be. And if you have no idea who that is, find someone who can help you. If you don't know what Jesus looks at you as, I want you to find someone who can help you find out who you are and truly figure out your identity. And I'm not talking about through a self-help book. I'm talking about through the most important eyes, which are God's. That is going to put you on a path of worth. And I'm not saying it's the end-all, be-all. It's not going to fix all your problems, and it's not going to make every single day the happiest day of your life. But it's certainly going to set you on a path of joy, that sustained worth, and that sustained feeling that you deserve something better than you might be given right now.
That's Pope style advice.
That's my Pope style advice.
You know, I did a sermon on that, on identity, I think, like, I don't know, 6 months ago or so. And like, one of the coolest outcomes of having studied for that was realizing how all the various places where we get identity from, anywhere that's not Jesus, are ultimately untrustworthy sources, and we can easily recognize that, right? Like, we can recognize it even with our own minds. The random things that pop into my head in a given day, I know personally disqualify me from giving an accurate evaluation of who I am.
Like, I'm just untrustworthy. Like, my emotions get the best of me sometimes. I worry about things I shouldn't. I'm not worried about things that I probably should be. Like, I'm just not a trustworthy character. And then I look at all, like, some of my friends, even the guys that I trust the most, and I think to myself, like, I know these fellas. I don't trust them to give me, like, my core identity. Like, and then moving beyond that circle, you got capricious people who just, like, treat you in whatever way they want to find value in themselves. And either way, they're not a trustworthy party either to define me. And so then I think, well, who can be trusted? Who can be trusted for me to get my identity from? And then we land on King Jesus. And we find that we have a creator God who says, like, these are created in my image and likeness, his inherent value and worth. And then the way that Jesus describes his children, people in the kingdom, right? And I think to myself, I would never be willing to call myself some of those things that Jesus does. And I think to myself, but he's the only trustworthy guy in the group. He's the only guy that knows anything about anything.
Right.
And has even the position to accurately evaluate not only who we are, how we were created, but who we're ultimately to be, generally through the power of the helper of the Holy Spirit. And I think to myself, well, yeah. Well, okay, that's the right move. And so then you spend your life trying to figure out, what does God think? If God's got the line on it, and that's where the truth is at, why do I figure out what he thinks? And then if everyone else is just wrong, then I live in the right part and then figure out how to work that out with people who are missing it. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, that was kind of the cool part is sometimes even it lands back on us internally and we're like, boy, what do I think of myself? And like, I'm just not trustworthy. I can't be relied upon. I got down moments where I'm not thinking right. And I don't want to be the guy who leads the charge that says, this is who I am. But if I step back and say, whoever created this thing, whoever's driving this ship, and whoever defines, the people in his kingdom says, this is who you are, this is how you're created to be, this is how I want you to live, then I think to myself, well, heck yeah. That I can get on board with. I need reminded of that on a daily basis. And then that core tends to stick around a lot better. And I recognize untrustworthy people, myself included, and say, nah, no, I'm sorry, you don't really hold a candle to what Jesus is, so I'm going to go with Jesus today. And so, yeah, I agree, and that's that has an outflow into a lot of different things that we end up in life, right? A lot of different interactions that we have, and it if that becomes your anchor, it's a lot harder to get not that those interactions, and I think this is what you're hitting at, Boov, it's not that those things that happen from time to time don't hurt, right? Names still hurt, people treating you poorly still hurt, but they don't drag you away with them.
Right.
Right, they don't become something of power that shouldn't have power in your life. Like, the last thing you want to do, this guy sounds like a raven joker. And the last thing you want to do is give a raven joker power over to define who you are.
Right.
But the thing is like the way that can happen is because if you didn't have a good sense of your identity to begin with, you start accepting it from foul outside sources. And that's the problem, right? But the more I know about Jesus, the more I know about who I am in Christ, the more I recognize and say I could take advice or I could take this identity from Jesus or from this joker, and then it becomes no contest. And you're less likely, it'll hurt, but it doesn't otherwise, it can bounce. It doesn't end up having the same benefit. So, all right, that's the advice. Solid, Boov.
Yeah.
All right.
Get off my lawn.
Yeah, hey, and I suppose here's the thing. If you're listening to the show, and he was talking, Boov was talking about you need to get with somebody, you know, you can always talk to us. Shoot us an email at info@livefromthepath.org. We own phones and computers and emails and
we
Facebooks.
We like to coffee with people.
Yeah. I like absolutely. If you're within like 100 miles, I'll generally buy you some coffee. So if you need
to. I have fire miles.
We all believe it.
Boov is willing to fly. Wait, you held back miles?
I wasn't able to use them for it.
Oh, I see.
But I still have them.
Okay.
What if she's not the one? I didn't want to burn all my miles.
Hey, man, I might use this again. If it doesn't work out with her, the next gal is going to be like, well, do you need to go to Madagascar? Because I have flyer miles.
I'd not tell
can
that
I
story, Boov. Yeah, anyway, shoot us an email at info@livefromthepath.org, and anything that we can do, we will do to try to help with that. All right, Mike, what you got?
Dear Life from the Path, I'm a 57-year-old male who has been thrust back into the dating scene. Mm. I'm financially secure, in good health, and have a good career. I'm searching for someone near my age who has similar achievements in life, someone I can communicate with in and out of the bedroom. Simple request, right?
What?
We went right for it. He's got life to live.
He's 57.
Yeah.
You're not pulling any punches. Go ahead.
What I'm realizing is that dating hasn't changed much over the years. If one of the parties isn't happy and decides to leave, someone gets hurt. I've been on both sides. I'm starting to fear expressing my feelings openly and honestly, and if it eventually does come to sex, it's creating performance anxiety. Jeez, dude. I understand this is all part of the dating ritual and called, quotes, baggage, but for me, it's preventing me from being honest, and I'm trying to avoid it. I see a female therapist who says I just haven't met the right person yet, and I agree. I have a female friend in a similar situation who has become so bitter she now avoids men completely. My male friends tell me to quit looking for a long-term commitment and just date for fun. Neither of these options appeals to me. My age-old question is, how does a person find a happy balance in this dating world? Hey, man, you're fishing for the wrong things.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm talking to a teenage boy. You know what I'm saying?
I'm missing it. I don't quite understand what the... Is there a specific thing here? Or he's being open and honest and it's offending people. Like, that's what it sounded like to
me.
Yeah,
so I'm not exactly what brand of honesty he's using, but like, hey, we have a great time in the boudoir, but outside I find you boring and stale. Or the other way around. Like, and he's like, I can't just say whatever I want because then people get offended. That's true of life.
Right.
Right? Like, God gave you a brain so you can put two thoughts together and not say something like, man, you look fat in those pants. Or, I hate your new haircut. People go, wow, did something happen? Looks okay. You know? I mean, something.
Something happened.
Sorry, what? Your wife gets a haircut. She comes up in the door. And you say, wow, did something happen?
All right. What happened, sweetheart? You look great.
Maybe I'm not. I actually just go the direct honest route. So I'm.
Mike not goes, putting that in new a hairdresser, story. Huh?
Yeah. What happened? Did we were short on cash this month to go to the college again?
Oh man.
Anyway, like I'm not
okay.
Sure.
Wait. So this 57-year-old guy, was there any backstory? Like, did he just recently get divorced? Was he recently widowed, or is he just still trying after 40 years?
No, he's recently
thrust. It sounds like divorced.
Sure. Yeah.
Maybe he need, if he was recently divorced, maybe he needs to spend some time on his own.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I was thinking. I mean, I think he really needs some time to self-reflect and figure out what is really important, no matter how old he is.
He needs a lady friend to be honest with, though, to complete him.
He can keep writing into people to be
honest with.
Lord Jesus.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, I know a guy you could be honest with, King Jesus.
Yeah, try that out. Job did. See what happened.
Job did.
Hang on.
Like 38 chapters of why that went wrong.
my therapist, Madame Eliphaz.
Yeah.
Okay. So, all right. So here's the thing. It sounds like a balance problem for starters, right? If boudoir goes well, other parts of the relationship don't.
Stop saying boudoir.
Well, I'm sorry. That's what do you want me to say?
I don't know. Just
the sex room? What do you want me to say?
The sex room? Really? The two choices are the sex room and boudoir? Didn't he just use the bedroom?
He's an adult. Anyway, so it sounds like he's having a problem balancing there. I would agree with probably both suggestions from Crystal and Mike, is that the Lord Jesus undergirds this thing so you don't end up with this type of problem. Because, like, if you're finding an imbalance in one of the, like, first of all, one shouldn't be happening without the other. That's causing part of your problem. And I would say, secondly, like, if you're settling, and I hate to, this guy seems like he might be a borderline jerk to some of these people with how he's talking to them, so I hate to encourage him in this way. But, like, you're settling if you're saying, I'm allowing a relationship to proceed when we, A, don't get along, but the sex room is good, or the opposite. Right? So I would say, Get your priorities straight. Make them good kingdom priorities because that tends to sort out. Here's the thing. I know people with Jesus relationships and they don't have the same types of problems or they're not as deep. It's just true. I'm not saying there aren't marriage problems. That's reality. But
well,
like,
I think the difference is having God as your center in your relationship.
It helps in the resolution.
It makes a huge difference when you put God first.
I completely agree. Like they're just. Right, you end up doing things for right reasons and keeping things in the right focus, and it would help some of this go away. But I would say don't when they say you haven't found the right person, I think that's right. Stop wading farther in the waters than you should until that happens.
Secular says, holy cow, it's bloated. Secular says, quotes, dating means different things to different people. To your male buddies, as you have found out, it means a sexual free-for-all. For others, dating is a sifting process that lasts until they meet someone they're comfortable enough with to communicate honestly. In any successful relationship, communication is key. That's why it's important to be honest with the women you meet and for them to be the same way with you. That's how people get to know each other beyond the surface, and it's how trust is built. Chemistry is important, but it has to be mutual. You will know it when you find it. Listen to what your therapist is saying because she's steering you in the right direction. Yeah, well, I suppose.
Yeah.
I mean, you didn't really say anything there. I mean,
that was all of it? That was the full bloated?
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, I know. I didn't really say much. All right, do one more.
Okay, hang on. It's loading it up.
Do I have to do another intermission?
Yeah, go ahead, Bubba.
Okay, here we go. Ready?
Man.
Dear Life from the Past.
That works.
Perfect
time. I'm 57.
Wait, same guy?
Shush.
Okay, sorry.
I'm 57 and I've been married for 25 years. Whammo.
Oh, man.
My husband has retired and is ready for me to do the same. I enjoy my work and I am delaying my retirement because he wants to move to another state. Life from the Path, all I can think about is how I will be forced to start all over with a new church, new doctors, new friends, etc. That's incredibly stressful for me, and I don't want to do it. It takes me a while to warm up to people, and I don't do it easily. To me, it would not be an exciting adventure. I have told him I don't want to do this and why. He responds that if I want to visit my friends, I can always hop on a plane. He said he's tired of the cold and wants to move. All I can think about is having to sell our home, buy another one, learn a new area, make friends, find a new church. I have all of that here. Maybe he should be a snowbird.
Whoa.
I think it sounds like they need to do some praying together. Because it sounds like a lot of me on both sides. And I think they need to come probably to some sort of compromise, but they just need to spend some time praying and asking God where they should go. Because it sounds like he has a plan, she has a plan, and both of those could be good for them. But it doesn't sound like they're spending a whole lot of time praying to figure out what God wants them to do together. And it could be one plan over the other, or it could be something totally different and probably even better if they would spend some time trying to figure it out together versus just me and arguing about it. So that would be my advice to them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, put the prayer on it and, you know, actually discuss this type of thing. That's what I don't understand. Like some of these questions where I would like to know what that conversation was. Like, have you actually talked about this?
Right.
Hey, I don't particularly want to move. Like, if he's still planning to move and you told your husband, hey, I don't want to move, like, that's weird.
And how has 25 years of marriage worked for you? If, like, your communication is such as, like, you tell your husband you don't want to move and he goes, oh, that's fine, we'll just put you on a plane to come see your friends. And, like, that's the whole conversation.
Yeah.
That just doesn't seem... That doesn't equal itself.
Or she's not telling the whole story, right?
Like, that's
she
what
could
I'm
be
thinking.
Misrepresenting husband. Husband may have been more gracious than what she's letting on. Again, problem with the other side.
Here's the thing. Like, I mean, granted, like, they need to come to a resolution here, but, like, he may be slightly overselling this snowbird thing. Like, I get it. The weather's irritating and blah, blah, blah. Most people spend most of their time inside anyway. You know what I'm saying? Unless it's like a... I mean, you can heat the place. You can cool the place. You know,
Mike's anti-Florida campaign.
Mike's answer to this whole situation is air conditioning.
Here's the thing. When you go down to Disney World, what do
it's
they
either,
do?
It's
they
air condition right
everything
now or it's
there.
Cold now.
The only guys not sitting in the air conditioner are the Gators, which you're looking at from behind the air conditioned glass. Everywhere that you go that for vacation or for fancy times is always conditioned air. So you're overselling this like this is not completely possible in your home. I think you just need to set up one room in your house that is like humid and airy, and then you can go sit in there for a while.
You need to set up your own terrarium? Is that what you're saying right
Here's
now?
The thing. People are hard to replace.
Just lay out on the rock under the really hot heat. Like
that, no, that's true. I can get a beastly humidistat and throw it in that room. And you can geriatric your way over there you want.
Here's the deal, George. We're not moving anywhere. You're just going to have your own little hot room.
We're going to build you a hot room.
Genius.
Yes. That is
perfect
a compromise.
Answer.
You don't like cold weather. Come on.
Pray and build a hot room. Your marriage is saved.
Don't see? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, talk about it. Like, yeah, put the prayer on it and talk about the thing. I mean, here's the thing. Someone's going to have to let go.
Right.
I mean, the truth is that there's a compromise in here that is not going to be...
Like a hot room.
Like a hot room. Like a hot room. Or, I mean, I don't know, like moving. I mean, I get where she's coming from.
Move a state north.
You gotta leave friends and stuff behind, have to find a new church.
You know what they should do? He should go on long-term mission trips. You know what I'm saying?
She suggested that he be a snowbird.
That's right. Like
that'd be hysterical.
He'd go to Africa. It's warm over there. He could go mission in Haiti.
Sweetheart, there are children in the Dominican Republic that need you right now.
Yeah.
And I'm going to stay where my friends are.
That's true. What are the many hands for Haiti folk? Always need people.
That's right.
Tim Brand.
Man, it's certainly like productive.
Time
so
to go on
I'm
warm
right
weather,
for
friend.
Yeah. Done. Hot room and missions trips.
Hot room and missions. This man's back to living.
Boom.
High on the hog. Here we go.
Kingdom living.
All right. Secular's answer. If you and your husband can afford two places, perhaps you should both be snowbirds. It couldn't hurt to rent a place for a few months to see what life would be like in a new community. That's what I recommend to readers who contemplate making a drastic change, such as relocation in their lives. If you do that, you might find that the, quotes, natives are friendly and the community is congenial. However, if that's not the case, it can help you to avoid making a costly mistake.
Wait, that can help you from the costly mistake of buying
that
a second home?
That sounds like the costly mistake.
Yeah, it sounds
me.
Costly to rent a second
exactly.
home.
Let's get a second home so we can save some money.
Maybe we live in a different world, me and Secular.
I was going to say, this is definitely not advice to the masses, Secular.
Yeah, I mean, I talk about maybe renting a mobile home.
Yeah, exactly. I can get a trailer. Like one of the collapsible ones.
Get a tent.
We can only be pulled by
Zimbabwe
a Jeep
for a day.
Yeah, Bill, what, when do you feel like you started to feel distance from your wife? Well, when we bought two houses and lived in them separately.
Yeah.
I built myself a hot room. It just didn't work out the way I thought it was going to.
You know that hot room's a great idea.
Man, that's a weird deal. That's a human terrarium.
It's like a
sauna. You're like an iguana. Goes and hangs out on the rock.
Can we just take a vote on it and be done? Who votes for hot room?
That's a good idea. I'm sorry.
Hold on.
I'm in with it.
Give Crystal time to put her hand up.
I was going to say, are you waiting for this
to
be unanimous? Are you waiting for this to be...
I'm gonna say Crystal voted yes.
Who's against the hot room?
Hey, you can Mike, you can vote on behalf of the priest over there.
What? He gets to be point scorer and gets to vote on behalf of the priest?
Yeah.
Unfair.
That's 4-1. Hot room.
Wow. All right. Hot room's getting built.
All right, you've been listening live from the Path. Thanks for hanging out with us tonight. Big thanks to Crystal Joy for stopping in. Thank you so much, Crystal.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been so much fun.
You're very welcome. You can go to crystaljoybooks.com and pick up Completely Captivated. Also, where all legit books are sold, including the Barnes & Noble. You can pick it up on the Nook or on Amazon. Keep an eye out. You can follow her on Facebook and stuff. I'm sure there'll be updates on when those other two books are coming. In the meantime, go peruse the website, follow up on your favorite couples from Completely Captivated, and keep an eye out in case we want to do Is This Love again. Maybe Crystal will be swinging back in. I believe we will be on next week. We'll be a final show of the year. And, I don't know what's going on. I haven't thought that far ahead. So we're going to break with you. Go check out the website, livefromthepath.org, for past clips. Sign up for the podcast. And we'll see you next week. In the meantime, be faithful in the means. God will take care of the ends. You've been listening to Live from the Path.